attempting to solve the mystery of medically unexplained symptoms. So what are we talking about? Unexplained illness covers a multitude. Everything from where there's no medical diagnosis to situations where there is a medical diagnosis, such as underactive thyroid or maybe even Lyme disease, but the person has not responded. Sometimes the symptoms will be mundane ones like fatigue, brain fog, aches and pains. Sometimes there'll be unusual symptoms in the mix, such as electric shocks in the limbs or buzzing in the spinal column, or sensitive skin where even light touch may hurt significantly. Usually, if a patient is feeling desperate, the diagnostic labels may tell us very little about what's going on and may be rather meaningless. It's really just a fancy term for the symptoms. I'm referring to labels such as fibromyalgia syndrome or irritable bowel syndrome, or something which is called New Daily Persistent Headache. The labels impart really little or nothing about the underlying causes of the problem. So one thing, one set of words to the wise, if someone has unexplained illness, there's no point in throwing lots of supplements at the problem. The internet is full of 4 for the price of 3 magical solutions for fatigue or brain fog or whatever. So don't be gullible. In most situations where someone is suffering from unexplained illness, they will have symptoms which are widespread. The process may begin with a single triggering event, but now the complaints have spread out to many bodily systems. In my average intake history, there'll probably be a minimum of 5 or 6 major problems. Very frequently, the list will include fatigue, brain fog, cognitive, memory, concentration issues, digestive disturbance, constipation, diarrhea, abdominal bloating, bodily aches and pains, including unexplained joint pain, sensitivity to perfumes, smells, chemicals, mood issues. Sometimes the issue is an overall low mood, or sometimes it's just a low mood that occurs in winter. Sometimes vulnerability to recurrent infections will be on the list, maybe recurrent sinus or chest infections or even recurrent pneumonia. Maybe chemical sensitivity is one of the problems, sometimes in the form of sensitivity to perfumes, smells, chemicals or cleansing agents. Sometimes it'll be sensitivity even to very modest amounts of alcohol. And one of the challenges there is working out whether it's an issue with processing the alcohol itself, or whether it's the mold in the alcohol, e.g. wine and beer, or perhaps worse than, dare I use the word, pure spirits such as vodka, because the spirits do not contain mold. In female patients, a very high percentage of people have gynae or women's health issues, sometimes with an increase in certain of their symptoms, not necessarily the gynae ones, at certain times of the month. Often there'll be heavy bleeding as well, hot flushes, difficulty with sexuality, vaginal dryness, sore or watery eyes, lack of libido, vaginal thrush. So unexplained illness often involves lots and lots of symptoms. Think about unexplained illness as a series of dominoes. One domino knocks down the next one, and then that second one knocks down the third one. So it might begin with the virus. Virus doesn't go fully away. The person still feels a bit under the weather, but the next thing they know, they may have fatigue symptoms, then maybe tummy problems, digestive problems. Then suddenly they find, not sleeping very well. And then they might find they're getting stressed very easily. And then suddenly they may notice the growth of chemical sensitivity. I think it's worthwhile for patients to know how doctors are trained and what the priorities in training are. Doctors are trained to assess patient symptoms. Medical training is a training in pattern recognition. We're trained to look out for a particular disease, to identify a particular diagnosis. E.g., we're trained to diagnose a lung disease or a gastrointestinal disease or a musculoskeletal disorder such as rheumatoid arthritis. Our training is all about making a treatable diagnosis. The happy doctor is well satisfied with their diagnosis. And if the diagnosis is correct, which it usually is in those kind of cases, the patient has a generally accepted and recommended treatment program, which is very likely to work. Happy patients make happy doctors, and the doctor feels good and useful at our job, which is helping and healing patients. When we see symptoms all over the place, particularly when we cannot make sense of it, we tend to go back to our old default diagnosis of stress-related symptoms. We tend to drift towards the take time to relax. How are things with your partner, your workmates, your mum, your dad, your school friends? Or maybe even if we're going a little bit deeper, well, what was your childhood like? The search is really for inner conflict or problems showing itself in physical problems, sometimes referred to as a somatization disorder. As doctors, and I certainly was someone who very much felt safe with the disease model, because in the disease model, we acknowledge the patient's symptoms are real. It allows us at the same time to maintain our belief in the strictly disease-based medical model. Yes, the patient has symptoms, but no, the tests don't show anything. It's the binary approach, yes or no. If the standard tests don't show anything, then almost by default, the symptoms are stress-based. It cuts out the risk of cognitive dissonance on the part of the doctor. We can simultaneously acknowledge the reality of the patient's symptoms, but inwardly reassure ourselves that, as doctors, we've done everything possible, and at the same time, we can keep our faith in disease-based medicine. Meanwhile, back to the patient with all the symptoms. The GP has done all the investigations possible, so now it's specialist referral time, hopefully finding that genius consultant who will have the Damascene moment and make an inspired diagnosis. Again, though, the focus is on one disease diagnosis to cover all the symptoms, which is not, in my opinion, the correct way to proceed. If it's chest pain, off to the cardiologist. If it's GI symptoms like tummy gastrointestinal, off to the gastroenterologist. If it's fatigue or lack of energy, poor sleep, the psychiatrist. If it's aches and pains, the rheumatologist. So then all the tests are completed and it's back to the GP, and it's the old story of the good news and the bad news. The good news is nothing serious is wrong. The bad news is, sorry, nothing we can do to help. So now it might be antidepressant time, and in my earlier years in practice, I would probably at this stage suggest a trial of antidepressants. I had great faith in the evidence-based medicine model, the great book of diseases. So I'd certainly believe that when standard medicine didn't find something wrong, that was a statement of fact, and I'd faithfully prescribe a trial of antidepressants. But often I found, to my great chagrin, that the patient would come back to me and tell me that the antidepressant maybe made them feel worse or more unwell. And finally, after a while, I copped it that a lot of individuals with unexplained illness have livers that have sluggish enzyme systems, and it means that their bodies are very slow to break down drugs, and thus medicines hang around in their system for prolonged periods of time, and sometimes even small doses of medicine can make these people keel over. Anyhow, back to real life, away from the theorizing. So it's usually at this stage that I come into a patient's life. All the investigations have been done. That's really important. Serious disease has been outruled. Nothing urgent, which really needs treatment, is around. But no treatable disorder has been found. Or maybe sometimes if a treatable disease has been found, sometimes the patient may find that the treatment isn't working well for them, and the doctor and patient will usually have agreed to suspend the treatment since it's not working. So what I have to do is try to go back to the drawing boards, but look from a different perspective and try and see biochemically what's going wrong. I need to acknowledge the disease book and be aware of the disease book, but at the same time, look beyond it. So I've got a threefold challenge. I need to make a diagnosis about what's going on biochemically. And here I have to bring you back to the dominoes. There will usually be a series of events over the years and sometimes the decades. So I need to identify as many as possible of the points where the system is failing as possible, so as to know what needs treatment for a long-term result. Number two, when I've identified those problems, I need to try and assess what I need to do to attempt to restore quality of life in the short to medium term, while the bigger plan is hopefully kicking in. Then the third challenge is, what do I need to do? And how do I need to manage the person so that, hopefully, when health has been restored, the system won't run itself into the ground all over again? In the following sections, I'm going to speak about diagnosing unexplained illness and the treatment strategies which I use to treat medically unexplained symptoms.